Inside the Cross Podcast.
From Wall Street to Orange County, right back to Wall Street, the 2014 MCLA season has come to an end. Orange County was an unbelievable host for the MCLA tournament, and it seems likely that the show will be back there next year and maybe a third year to come. Congratulations to the Grand Valley State Lakers, the national champions of MCLA Division II. Had a really great opportunity to actually be staying in the same hotel as both Grand Valley State and Michigan State, and to see Grand Valley State go throughout their process to a national championship from round one to Montana State to the Final Four against St. Thomas in the championship game, of course, against St. John's was something really special. But you speak about process, and it's something that we'll certainly talk about a little bit later on in the show, and certainly came up in my phone conversation last night with John Galvin, the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. We are joined by Coach Galvin tonight, as well as his defensive coordinator, Marty Taffet, and offensive coordinator, Ben Wise, the mind trust, if you will, in Boulder that put together an MCLA Division I national championship, made it to the championship game last year against Colorado State, fell short, actually played their opponent from this year, Arizona State, in the Final Four in the championship game, in a really, really special battle that saw a perfect season come to an end and see a new champion get crowned. So Coach Galvin, Coach Taffet, Coach Wise, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So, you know, we'll start things off with Coach Wise. Ben, you know, first of all, I think the really one of the most special parts about your coaching staff, which I think is a reminiscent theme throughout the MCLA, at least in your and Marty's case, I know that Coach Galvin went to Ohio Wesleyan, but you and Marty are both Colorado alums. So to have played for the Buffaloes, to, you know, go throughout your playing career, come onto the staff as an assistant coach and bring the first championship back to Boulder, you know, your connection to the school and the state, how does it make it all the more special?
Yeah, I mean, being a part of the program for a while, it's definitely very special to you know, to help bring a championship as a coach. I know playing for Coach Galvin, you know, knowing kind of what he wants as a coach, I think it was a pretty important part, coming back on staff and kind of helping bring that culture to the program. So it's, you know, it's nice to bring a championship to a, you know, to a coach that you played for and a program that you played for.
And Ben, you know, something I spoke a lot about Coach Galvin last, with Coach Galvin last night was, the transition, that Jack Cranston made from midfield to attack this year. Obviously, you know, his numbers skyrocketed from what was already, you know, All-American-like performances when he was playing at the midfield and really seemed to kick you up a notch and maybe be that wrinkle that you guys needed offensively to really be the formidable force you were. You know, Coach Galvin said that it was that you really had a lot to do with that in regards to when you were going to implement it and, you know, how much of a reality it was. Tell us a little bit about that and how he really did propel you to that next level to win the national championship this year.
Yeah, I mean, Jack's a special player. He could probably play anywhere on the field and, you know, give us that edge, you know, anywhere. You know, kind of looking at the team we had coming back this year and, you know, the differences between what we were trying to do last year is, you know, systems-wise offensively. It's, you know, we kind of needed Jack to fill a role at the midfield. You know, last year we had some, some different guys, you know, and we wanted to have Jack. We thought he'd be, you know, a good help for us at the midfield, kind of fill some holes. And this year we saw kind of what we had coming up at the midfield with some younger guys, and it was kind of a no-brainer. He's the kind of the guy you see that you don't ever want to take off the field. So, you know, putting him down at attack was a no-brainer. It was something we kind of talked about last year. But, you know, we didn't really think we had the need to do it kind of with what we had. And, you know, this year kind of putting him down there turned out to be a pretty good decision.
You know, it's something that Coach Galvin said to me right on site in California right before your game against Minnesota Duluth is really how fortunate you guys were to have three senior attackmen who are so used to playing with one another. Obviously, Jack made the switch and ultimately made a really important sub out for Jay Scan, who ultimately, I guess, played a little bit of offensive mini for you guys. When you talk about, you know, the camaraderie exists with those three players. Tyler coming back for a fifth year and the way that Jace was able to accept his role as an offensive middie this year. You know, how did all of that really, you know, come together in regards to putting together the really great offense that you had this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like you said, with, you know, it's with Jace kind of accepting going down to the midfield. I mean, I think you hit it on the head. It's all three or four of those guys kind of accepted the role. You know, everyone kind of bought into what we were trying to teach as a system. And, you know, the camaraderie with three seniors, you just see it in practice every day. Then, you know, it's what you love as a coach. You see, you know, you tell them to do something and all of a sudden they're off on the side when they're not taking reps, talking lacrosse and talking about what they can do better and, you know, what they see out there. And that's kind of what you love to see, because they just that bond and, you know, kind of that chemistry that you can't really coach. It's kind of just going to come naturally. And all three guys accepted their roles of, you know, maybe not necessarily I'm going to be the goal scorer, I'm going to be the feeder, I'm going to draw slides. And you can kind of just see it. And I think it's, you know, something that older guys maybe kind of recognized later in their career, and they just really accepted, you know, what they wanted to do and what they wanted to accomplish. I think that was the biggest part of having those, you know, three seniors at attack, and Jace being a junior, and, you know, every day you talk to him and he's just saying how he doesn't really care where he's playing. He just wants to make sure he's helping. And, you know, that's the kind of attitude I think everyone on our team had, and really, you know, they all accepted. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, it speaks a lot to our team and our mentalities, you know, as the guys on the team.
And Riley Seidel really had a very special tournament. You know, there were times where Jack or Tyler was a little bit quiet, and, you know, Jace, of course, you know, really did a number of things in addition to scoring at the midfield. But Seidel was really the constant quarterback for you guys. It seemed as though he really did take a new confidence on leadership level to his game this year. Comment on that if you could.
Yeah, I mean, I think he said it perfectly at the, you know, his interview at the end of the game, where he knew, you know, that this is the last time he's playing lacrosse. And I think he really stepped up into a role, and, you know, he had a great season last year, and, you know, guys kind of just started looking up to him, and he really accepted that and, you know, took it by the horns. And, you know, he became our quarterback. Like you said, I think his assist numbers almost doubled this year. You know, they've only gone up every year since he's gotten here, and his goal scoring has always kind of been where it is. And, you know, he just really took that, you know, that role of knowing, hey, maybe I don't have to score all the goals, or I don't have to do everything. And he just became that vocal leader we needed on the field and off the field.
You know, and coach wise, I really never go an MCLA tournament without putting my foot in my mouth a little bit. There's always a player that gets overlooked that I really should have had my eye on earlier. And, you know, I spoke to Coach Galvin, again, right before that Duluth pregame against, Mitch Fenton. And honestly, for a great player like Brad Mackney, I think that, you know, that's a tough role for anybody to, step into. But, you know, he's a senior in the classroom, a junior eligibility wise. And he really did, you know, progress from that Duluth game, which, you know, is a tough first round draw for anybody, and really, play at a championship level through, Michigan State, UCSB, and Arizona State. So, you know, you certainly got me on that one. You know, as an offensive guy, you know, what is it about Mitch Fenton's game that's kind of different from Mac? You know, what are the main differences and similarities between Fenton and McNee? Because I see a lot of similarities, and obviously, you know, it kept you guys pretty consistent in between the pipes this year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, consistent, you know, they're both of those goalies. I mean, Brad's a fantastic goalie, obviously, and even before him, you know, Kevin Moriarty, there's a long history of really good goalies here. And I think, you know, Mitch, he's, you know, sat on the sideline for 3 years watching these great goalies, and I think he really picked up on a lot of things, and you can see it in his game. And, you know, he's a great leader. He's not necessarily the loudest guy. He's maybe not as intense as Brad was game day, but he's just a solid, you know, quiet leader, and guys really respected him. And when he got between the pipes, it was all business all the time. And, you know, I think that's kind of the similarities you see with the two of them. You know, style wise, they both play a pretty similar style that I think Coach Galvin has really hammered home with teaching all the goalies that have come through here. So, you know, I think that's kind of what you see as far as, you know, playing wise. It's kind of those systems that we teach. And, you know, Mitch had a fantastic year. He had, you know, maybe a little bit of a tough game, that, you know, Duluth game, even though, you know, he still only let up 6 goals, but, you know, he's a competitor, and, you know, it was the first tournament game for him, and he bounced back and, you know, took us as far as we needed to go.
Without question, Coach Wise, congratulations. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you.
And now we'll turn things over to Marty Taffet, the defensive coordinator for the Colorado Buffaloes. You know, Marty, it wasn't too long ago. It might seem like it was probably a long time ago, but, you know, you're a high school All-American in Colorado, and you actually decided to take your game here in New York. And then, you know, after a short period of time, it brought everything back to Boulder. Again, just like Ben, played for Coach Galvin and the Buffs. Played in a Final Four as a player, coached in a Final Four last year. I mean, you know, when you were in Queens, New York, and made the decision to come back to Colorado, was obviously the goal to win a national championship was in your mind, but did you ever think you would help the program to the first national championship as an assistant coach?
You know, I transferring home was just a decision to be where I wanted to be. And, you know, I'm from Colorado. I grew up here. And, you know, one of the nice things about being in Boulder is it's just a beautiful place to live and work. And, you know, for me, coming back and playing club lacrosse wasn't always a sure thing. And it ended up being, you know, a guy that I played against in the state championship in 2006 actually came to me and said that I should try out. And it ended up being one of the best decisions I ever made. And I made all my friends through it. And it's been a great network since I've graduated school. And, you know, it was never a decision not to coach. It was one of those things where, you know, I love the game so much. And the guys on the team that I had played with, you know, I really wanted to help them as much as possible. So coaching was just a natural, you know, progression for me. So, yeah, I mean, winning's always awesome. You know, everyone hates losing. So being able to be a part of, like, you know, a really, really special year. The seniors, the fifth year seniors, the three of them were freshmen when I was a senior. So it was really cool to win with them. And, you know, a really high character team this year. And I think that's what probably made this run so special is that, yeah, we did have some really awesome lacrosse players, but, you know, top to bottom, we have a really, really solid bunch of guys character wise.
No question. Before we get into probably some of the things that gave you some headaches after the Michigan State game personnel-wise, let's talk about a player who really jumped off the page for me last year with the way that he played. He was, he was only playing as a freshman eligibility-wise, a kid from New Jersey. Zach Doss certainly plays with a chip on his shoulder and certainly looks more mature than he actually is. You know, what part of his game really contributed to the national championship run this year?
You know, Zach's one of those guys that kind of came to us out of nowhere. And he's really been great. He's a great kid, real funny, sits behind me on the bus when I'm driving in our vans. Brings it every day and, you know, isn't super flashy. Doesn't throw a ton of takeaway checks, but good fundamentals, you know, stick to the hands, stick in the lanes, good feet, and, you know, doesn't get a lot of penalties, all that kind of stuff. You can kind of put him on an island. He did a great job with, Dan Davis in the championship game.
Yep.
And, you know, he's smart and he doesn't make a lot of bad decisions. And if you can play a game with you don't make a lot of bad choices, you know, we're going to be competitive. And with the offense like we had, that's really all we needed this year.
Sure. And Marty, you know, let's talk about, the Michigan State game, fourth quarter. Seems like it was only a couple of minutes apart. Hayden McLean goes down, likely out for the season with an ACL tear. When Clark Salami went down a little bit after, it seemed like it was maybe just, you know, a hyperextension or a twist and a sprain, and he seemed to have a meniscus injury that kept him out through the national championship game. You know, as a defensive coordinator, probably as a guy, you know, similar to you, you were, you know, an LSM who took face-offs similar to Salami. I mean, you pretty much see later on that night that you're not going to be able to have either of them for the rest of the tournament. You know, where's your head go as a defensive coordinator? Is it panic mode? Is the next guy up ready to go? I mean, you're at the highest stage at the highest level, you know, with a season on the line and two really, really fantastic players, a senior and a sophomore, you know, who brings so much to your game, both go down with pretty significant knee injuries. I mean, what was going through your mind at the time?
Well, I can tell you that both knee injuries happened within 2 minutes of each other. And it was, you know, it's one of those things where two teams playing hard, Coach Schwinn, Michigan State's team, real excellent, real blue collar, you know, every ground ball is a fight with them. It was just one of those things where Hayden went for an overhead check, knee got caught, ends up tearing it up. And, you know, honestly, it's one of those things where he's a great guy. I just felt bad for him not being able to go out on his own terms. And then, you know, the nice thing is with our team this year, we are able to run guys to the midfield a ton at LSM. So we had depth there. And then when Clark went down, you know, he took, you know, a good solid chunk of our faceoffs this year. It wasn't necessarily that I was concerned about our game with, against Michigan State and UCSB coming up after that, but it was just trying to figure out what the best matchups would be going into the semifinals and finals game. And, you know, luckily we were able to have a kid, Mike Zimbowski, who's a true freshman from, you know, right outside Boulder, played lacrosse at Boulder High School, you know, had a hell of a game. And, you know, I can make an argument that Simbo should have been, you know, maybe MVP of that game. I mean, obviously Seidel earned it with going 4-2, but, you know, face-offs against a high-scoring offense like ASU couldn't be more important. And he did a hell of a job making ground balls 50-50. And then also another two freshmen, Reed McGraw and fifth-year senior Sean Crane, splitting the duties of LSM and UCSB and ASU, both doing a great job. So, you know, I was real happy for Sean, you know, being a freshman when I was a senior. And then Reed transitioning from high school lacrosse to college lacrosse. You know, I couldn't have been more thrilled for, you know, those three guys that really stepped up in the absence of two really team leaders.
And also going into the Arizona State game, it really, you know, probably gave you a little bit of relief and maybe neutralized things a bit, considering that, you know, Zach Handy took a big one against Chapman and couldn't face off against you guys in that one.
Yeah, you know, and we heard certain things, but, you know, we prepared like he was going to play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, I would have loved to had Hayden and Clark and then had Handy for the game, the championship game. I know Coach Malone probably feels the same way.
Sure.
You know, best versus best. But, you know, the face-off guy for Arizona State, the kid from Chaparral, 47, did a great job. I mean, you knew that was going to be a dogfight regardless. And, you know, it was just one of those things where, you know, Chapman's a great team. The guy caught him when his head was down. And it wasn't like a malicious hit. It's just a lacrosse game. And, you know, breaks happen just like our guys in the Michigan State game. But, you know, it's one of those things where it could have been a great thing for us, or it could have been a bad thing. And those guys thought, you know, the game was in hand, but no one took it lightly and everyone came out ready to go for Arizona State because we knew it was going to be a dogfight.
No question. You know, Marty, you're really a defensive expert, and, you know, the MCLA and some of the West Coast teams, maybe, you know, their defense goes unrecognized. But, you know, Michigan State was a team that beat you earlier in the year. It was a really pivotal quarterfinal matchup. A lot of people had the Spartans potentially taking that game away. I mean, you know, obviously Chris Malone's team always comes out, you know, prepared defensively. But over the course of the MCLA tournament, I mean, I guess you got a heavy dose of Minnesota Duluth. They were pretty physical. I mean, between Michigan State and Minnesota Duluth, I mean, did you feel as though that you played two of the toughest defenses right off the bat in your first two tournament games?
You know, we felt good being the two seed going into the tournament. But, you know, we also know that the kind of brand of lacrosse Duluth plays, you know, physical, the guys know how to play hockey. I mean, they're going to be coming at you. They're going to be out with have a chip on their shoulder. But it was one of those things where we felt comfortable with our systems and we felt like we were really prepared for that game. Slow start for sure, but picked it up in the second half. Got great performances out of our D middies. I mean, really the biggest thing probably from the tournament with playing 4 games in 6 days is you can only do so much preparation. And so it really came down to one-on-one play. And I think our D middies did an excellent job all week. You know, keeping their short sticks versus our short sticks under control and not having to slide all that much. So, I mean, the defenses we played, Duluth, excellent. And then having to play against Matt Alamein and Michigan State's defense, you know, both uphill battles. But it was one of those things where we were able to create transition between the boxes and score quick goals, and, you know, try and create momentum and keep going from there. So, you know, keep the ball moving and always try and keep it going.
Strong reference to Matt Alamein, the first-team All-American goalie from Michigan State. Really, in addition to Mitch Fenton, a guy who could be considered Brad McNee-esque. But, Marty, thank you so much for your time this evening. Congratulations. I know it was a long season and a long road for you and a victorious one at the end. And, you know, congratulations on all the efforts that you put into bringing that title back to Colorado.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
And now we turn things over to Coach Galvin. And, you know, Coach Galvin, we were on the phone for a bit last night. And, you know, probably somewhere in Hollywood, if there was a screenwriter who was, you know, writing a story about a college team who made it to the championship game against their arch rival and then started off the new year in a certain way, you probably have a photo of the scoreboard or the championship trophy that they didn't win and saying that that season was dedicated to rectifying that result or bust. But that really had nothing to do with, you know, your coaching mentality in 2014, did it?
You know, not really. And I think we talked about this last night was, you know, obviously I think the guys were very upset about losing the 2013 national championship to, you know, Colorado State. But, know, it's a fresh season and we have, you know, a new team as, you know, any college coach knows is an ebb and flow to your, to the team that you have throughout, you know, a 4-year career of one of your players. And, you know, really we just kind of took a look at what we had coming back. You know, we understood that, you know, who we were losing and really just came back down to what we were going to do in the process and how we were going to prepare our players the best way through fall. Get them to the best of our ability, you know, in the Colorado way, and then really just, you know, again, continue with what we do, you know, through February and then into playing our games in our season. So it really just came down to us doing what we do. And honestly, it just, it's a lot of fundamentals. It's discipline. And, you know, we never mentioned, you know, winning and losing. We never mentioned national championships. It really just came down to us playing every single day. And I know it might sound a little cliche, but really, it really was about the process and about the journey. And, you know, we told the guys from the beginning of the fall, you know, we're not even close to being, you know, off the front porch and packed up, ready to go by the time fall ball ended. And so as the season begins, you know, we kind of remind them about, you know, it's kind of climbing that summit. And I think that was something that, you know, we kept reminding them throughout the season. And really when it came down to the championship game, it was, you know, we told them it was a race to the top of the summit. It really didn't matter, you know, what was going to happen. We just wanted to be first to it. And I think, you know, that was kind of their mentality and they just kind of kept that, went out and did their jobs. So.
And you know, something that's kind of probably overlooked from your season, is the fact that you won your first conference championship since, the early 90s. I mean, you know, the RMLC is so competitive. You still brought, you not only brought two other teams with you to the, championship this year, you brought Westminster, Division II transplant with you also this year. So, you know, obviously championships weren't necessarily a main theme or a goal in regards to your coaching style moving forward throughout the season, but you win the RMLC championship. Do you feel as though that you have more confidence going into the MCLA tournament with that title than in past years when you were just an at-large team?
Absolutely. You know, I think the players fed off that, you know, something we kept telling them was kind of feast and forget. And, you know, I think they really, fed off of the development of how the season progressed and then finally getting to a point where, you know, we were the number one seed in the RMLC. You know, we got a chance to play Westminster again, who was a great team, very well coached. And we knew that, you know, it was going to be a, you know, 1-4 didn't really make any difference. And we knew that we were going to have to play a great team and then, you know, hopefully play, you know, it didn't matter who we were going to play between BYU and CSU. We knew we were going to be playing obviously one of them. Mm-hmm. So really what it came down to it was, you know, hopefully, you know, putting our best foot forward and coming out of Grand Junction with the first RMLC title since 1993. And, you know, again, we didn't really mention, you know, we're in the RMLC championship game. You know, we're in the RMLC tournament. You know, we just, again, said this is, you know, another part of our season. You know, this is another part of the journey. And I think it just really kind of, it slowed the game down for the guys. It really just slowed the pace of the season down. It made them enjoy it a little bit more. It made them enjoy the trip out to Grand Junction and then obviously the games themselves. So, you know, we were really fortunate this year, but you know, again, it's, you know, winning the national championship is obviously great, but you know, continuing, you know, from the RMLC championship, something that we have not done in a very long time. And then obviously progressing through a, you know, a number two seed and going into the tournament. You know, we knew we had a lot of work cut out for us, but again, the RMLC championship was a huge success for, I think, these players. And I think they should be proud of definitely winning that RMLC championship, which is definitely hard to do.
And, you know, I we touched on this earlier when I just asked Marty about it, but you look, you know, at the tournament bracket, you're coming off of that, that RMLC title, the bracket is released and you see that most likely in your first two games, you know, you're guaranteed to play against Duluth and it's more than likely you're playing Michigan State, in the second round. Again, knowing that the physical breed of lacrosse that those teams play, and obviously there were those casualties, in Salami and McLean, from the MSU game. I mean, the MCLA tournament is, you know, pretty much designed for, you know, the champion to emerge, with depth and, you know, going deep into your bench. But, you know, knowing that your first two games were likely going to be extremely physical, you know, was that something that you took into consideration into your game plans for those games to, you know, keep guys healthy, and really, and for that matter, expose them to the lights of the MCLA tournament?
I mean, the first thing was obviously trying to keep everyone as healthy as possible through all the games and obviously use everyone we possibly can use. But, you know, when it came down to it, you know, UMD came out so tough and we really had to match their intensity. And I think they were so well coached and very prepared for us. And, you know, look, we were telling the guys at halftime, you're in the national tournament. You have to understand that, you know, every team wants to win. Every team's going to get a vote. And so, as we kind of progressed through that game, you know, we understood that we're going to have to play another hard fought battle versus, Michigan State. And, you know, we were prepared for both Michigan State and Texas. I mean, we had scouts on both of them ready to go. I mean, Duluth was obviously, we knew we were playing them. So we had to prepare for both teams. You know, and finally when we knew we were playing Michigan State, you know, I think it would just turned into, you know, we need to take care of business right now against Duluth and move forward. And that was it. You know, it came down to that one game mentality, but it is such a grind. I mean, it's four games and then 7 days. And it really takes a toll on all your players. So, you know, we were happy, you know, to obviously survive, you know, the first game without any serious injuries. And then obviously going through the second game, you know, we're very happy to win, but obviously losing Hayden and Clark were two, you know, big blows to, you know, our roster. But, you know, again, as, you know, I think Coach Tappet said, you know, I think all of our guys rallied behind those two players. I think they really came into, they wanted to be there and supporting, their teammates in a final run to the Final Four. And, you know, we had the next man up mentality. And I think Hayden and Clark both really stepped up as leaders and as just the people that they are and helping out, you know, the younger guys that they knew that were going to be kind of in their roles. So, you know, it was something really great to see. I mean, obviously the injuries were terrible, but, you know, to be honest, I mean, I think you commend their attitude and how they really moved this group forward.
I can speak for it personally. Saw both of those guys crutching around, you know, Chapman University campus and even Irvine after they got injured. You know, they had smiles on their faces. They, you know, probably were hurting pretty bad after their injuries, but were just happy about the Michigan State win. And, you know, you mentioned that you were prepared for either, you know, the Spartans or the Longhorns. You know, those were the first two teams that you played in last year's MCLA tournament. You know, Michigan State and Arizona State were the only two teams that beat you this year. You know, Michigan State really put themselves on a map and in a really good position throughout the entire 2014 season after they took you guys down. When you take a look at your game plan from your early round bout with the Spartans in Colorado and then the game that you were ultimately able to win in Orange County, what do you think was the main thing that you did differently from a preparation standpoint to secure that victory?
Well, I mean, through the middle of the season, I mean, we always start making changes with kind of what we do. And I think kind of some of the changes, you know, on how we maybe clear and ride the ball, I think that really turned out to us getting more possessions. We really concentrated on more possession time. You know, I think after those two games, I think we really understood that our obvious strength was, you know, getting the ball in the hands of our attack and, you know, letting our middies dodge on short sticks and kind of creating for our attackmen. So, you know, through the middle of the season, we tried to make that change and really try to get the ball back for our guys. And then as we started kind of preparing for Michigan State and obviously after that and preparing for Arizona State, we obviously made some adjustments. We made some adjustments just on the defensive end of the field. You know, the first Arizona State game, we played multiple looks of zone. Same thing with Michigan State. And so what we did was we tried to switch in and out of it and really just kind of confuse a bit of maybe their offensive players. I think at sometimes it definitely didn't work, but, you know, because they're so talented. But, you know, we really tried to stick to, you know, our systems and what we were trying to do. I think, you know, personnel doesn't change much. You know, Arizona State has a few personnel changes on the attack, but really it just came down to us maybe changing a few things in our game plan and understanding, you know, really where our strength was. And that's kind of what the season is about. You know, start understanding really who you are, you know, by the time you get through, you know, that middle part of the year, you understand maybe where you are, who your strengths are, you know, maybe what you want to try to avoid, but, you know, obviously you're going to have to just get better at it the best you can. So, and that tournament, you know, really does, you know, it shows your strengths and weaknesses. And I think, you know, we really tried to make sure that we hid as much as we could and obviously played to our strengths the best we could as well.
And Coach, you know, something that we actually haven't really spoken a lot about, but something that I've certainly noticed about your program over the course of the years, you know, it seems like to a certain degree, most MCLA programs, you know, more or less benefit from the lacrosse hotbed that develops around them. And there's no question that your team has a lot of very, very heavy Colorado town, and the growth of the sport in Colorado has, probably helped push your program among others forward in a number of ways. But, you know, you have guys from all over the place. I mean, you have guys from the East Coast in New Jersey who are probably getting looks from Division I and Division III programs. You have guys from places like Washington and Illinois and Tennessee and even parts of Southern California where, you know, their opportunities to play high-level MCLA lacrosse, you know, they don't even necessarily have to leave their home state to do that, but they come out to Boulder anyway. What is it about your program that attracts talent from so many different places?
Well, first, I think it's the university itself. I think academically, it's got such a diverse look of just the academic, challenges that you can kind of put yourself through, from the engineering school, business school, liberal arts. I mean, even the theater and dance and other programs that are around. So I think just the university itself academically can kind of bring a ton of different talent around. And then obviously, the setting itself. I mean, being in Boulder, Colorado, it's one of the best places that I've ever been. And I'm very proud to live here and obviously be a Buff. And, you know, I think that's something that we really try to pride ourselves on, is that, you know, we want to take this tradition of being a Colorado Buffalo. I think, you know, when you walk around campus, you know, you want to be a part of it to the best of your ability. And I think, you know, the assistant staff, you know, with Marty and Ben and, Coach McCain and Coach Gray, you know, they do such a great job of recruiting and, really just talking to kids when they're on campus or going through the camps, you know, especially Marty and Ben, you know, when they are kind of bringing, potential, student athletes on campus, they're talking about what a proud tradition this is. And I think that really helps grow our program. And, you know, to be honest, you know, we don't really talk much about lacrosse when they're on campus. You know, we talk about being a part of a culture, a part of a program that is so proud to be a Buffalo. And I just think it doesn't just come from guys that, you know, obviously played lacrosse, but guys who actually went to the school and are proud to be here. And I think I've taken, kind of a page from their book about how proud I am to be a head coach here and, see the proud traditions. And so, you know, again, attracting players from the East Coast and from, you know, kind of all over the United States has just been something that, you know, we've been able to do. And I think we're going to continue to do it, but, you know, we really still want our homegrown talent. I think Colorado is a state that it's really growing, you know, growing up in Long Island. You know, I don't think, when I was growing up, you know, it was still very East Coast centric, but I think when you're really starting to take a very wide look at lacrosse, I mean, it's really going up and down the West Coast. It's really getting great. And obviously in the Midwest, and there's lacrosse players everywhere. And that's kind of what we've been trying to do, is find the best lacrosse players that fit our program. And, really it just comes down to maybe not the best player, or, it just comes to, you know, who fits the Colorado mold. And, again, you know, we want to bring in the best homegrown talent here in Colorado, but also find the best talent that we can find, in other parts of the United States or even abroad. So.
John Galvin, head coach of the 2014 MCLA champion Colorado Buffaloes, bringing student athletes nationwide to Boulder, Colorado, and molding boys into champions. Congratulations so much, Coach Galvin, and your staff, Coach Wise, Coach Taffet. Really remarkable season, fellas.
Great. Thank you very much, Dave. We appreciate it.
And that will conclude our last podcast of the season for Inside Lacrosse in the MCLA. Again, congratulations to the University of Colorado and Grand Valley State on their championships, as well as all the other member institutions that put forth a great effort this year. Thank you very much to MCLA President Ken Lovick, our tournament director in Southern California, Matt Holman, our executive producers at Inside Lacrosse, Terry Foy and John Gelati. This is David Franklin, and it's been real.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast.